the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made my heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. And here we are to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You're wonderful to me. Oh, mighty cross, love lifted high, the Lord of life reached here to die. His sacrifice tree of life for me. Oh, mighty cross, what throne of grace. He knew no sin, yet took my place. His sacrifice on Calvary has made the mighty cross a tree of life for me. So pure, love held him there, such shame endured. His sacrifice on Calvary has made the mighty cross a tree of life to me. Oh, mighty cross, my soul's release, the stripes he bore. The highest cost. no greater love than this, than a man would give his life for a friend. There's no higher sacrifice than a man would give his life. You have paid a precious price for me. You chose me when I was so unworthy. You cleansed me with your own blood. You showed me with righteousness and mercy. And you crowned me with your steadfast love. There's no greater love than this. There's no greater love than this, than a man would give his life for a friend. There's no higher sacrifice than a man would give his life. You have paid a precious price for me. Accused and condemned, find mercy and grace. Where the wrongs I have done, and the wrongs done to me, were there near the cross, there on the cross, at the cross. Accused and condemned, find mercy and grace. Where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with him, there on the cross. At the cross, he died for. At the cross, he gave life again. Above all power, above all keys, above all nature, all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were there before the world began. Above all kingdoms, all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all powers, above all. above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were there before the world began. Above all kingdom, above all throne, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of this earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Sing it to him this morning. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the form and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above
stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. And then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy they bring. But greater still, that calm assurance this child can face in certain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because. One day I'll cross that river, I'll find life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. We can
Turn the lights on, Brother Steve. Thank you. Thought you were at a show for a minute, didn't you? There is no show, just Christ, amen. Just a man here standing before you today. Just a normal man with an extraordinary Jesus. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to... You brought those this morning, right? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then I want you to hold your place there, and I want you to go to Luke chapter 19. I want to welcome all of our visitors here this morning personally. So glad to have you here. If you don't have a home church, but you're looking for one, we would love to be that for you. We would love to be a body of Christ that you can find yourself welcome at, be a part of. First Corinthians 1:18. I'm looking for my second scripture. I've already found 1 Corinthians 18, just so you know. Second scripture is going to be Luke 19. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Can we just pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, first we thank you, God, that we're gathered here under the name of Jesus in this building, that there is a place for people to gather. There is a place for people to congregate, Lord, to celebrate, to honor, Lord, our risen Savior. The tomb is empty. He is alive. He is alive. Lord, you're alive and well this morning. And Father, I know that not because a book told me, not because a zealous preacher told me, but God, I've experienced your living spirit in my life, Lord. One, you've changed me. You've saved me, God, in ways in which I tried before and failed. But when you came into my life, God, oh Lord, you touched my life in such a way that even those things that I loved in my flesh, you made hatred out of it, God. Only you could have done that. And you've blessed me, God, in my life. I thank you, God, that no matter what life throws at us, as much trial as there is, God, you are triumphant over that trial. Father, we've witnessed that, God, as we've seen many in our congregation get sick, go through troubles, and we've prayed for them, God, and we've watched them recover in the glory of your might, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you this morning to gather. We thank you this morning for your word. I pray it blesses a whole lot of people in a short amount of time, Lord. So we give you the praise and the honor and glory. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right, if you'll turn with me now to Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Here is a familiar passage of Scripture. I believe most everybody has heard of Zacchaeus. Amen. Anybody know who Zacchaeus is in the house? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He. These are drug babies right here, just so you know. These are drug babies. They were drugged to church every time the doors were open. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Miss Iris. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1 says this, then Jesus entered. Man, what an entry that must have been for Jesus, and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I have half of my goods to, I shall give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What a wonderful ending to that precious account. Wouldn't you believe it? That Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. If you're here this morning and you found yourself not in the salvation of Christ, I can tell you, Jesus was noised in this earth. The coming of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, and his resurrection. So powerful, so palatable, so tangible, that over 2,000 years since the historical account of it, that today we are still celebrating the reality of not a dead God, but a living God. You've gathered today because some of you have believed that Jesus, whether he was the Son of God or whether he wasn't, whether you like coloring eggs and finding them, or whatever it is for your reason being here today, you have congregated because it was noise that Jesus would be there. Amen. You've been noise to that. Now, whether it's tradition and religion, we'll get to that. Don't worry about that. Amen? It doesn't matter what brought you here. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was just going and doing his rightful duty. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just doing your due diligence. Maybe you're just doing your duty as a Christian. Everybody knows we go on Christmas and we go on Easter. Doesn't matter about those Sundays in between. Doesn't matter. The Lord sees our heart. The Lord knows where I'm at. I meet with the Lord. Listen, I'm not getting on that this morning. That's not my message. Amen. But just like Zacchaeus, it was noise that whether tradition, religion, whether you were genuinely seeking the Lord this morning, it was noise that you might find him here in Family Worship Center. I don't know about y'all, but the smart people went to 6:30 service. They're already eating with their families. I got you till 12. It's going to be worth it, not because I'm a preacher, not because this is a show, but because he's alive. Amen? He's alive. No matter why you came, no matter what the purpose was, you came expecting because Jesus was noise to you. Just like Zacchaeus, everywhere Jesus went after he began to perform a few miracles, everyone had heard about him. I can tell you, if there was a machine in town that was giving out $100 bills for free, it would get across town pretty quick. Amen. I have a friend that went on a mission trip to, I believe it was
some Latin American country. I'm not going to say the name of it because I would probably get it wrong. But he said that he was there and he wanted to get an authentic gift to bring back to his sons. And he went up to a guy and found this. He had a machete in his hand. He said, "Hey, I'll give you $20 for that machete." Well, $20 don't translate to $20 in other countries. It's much, much more. So he just thought $20 good enough. Well, this guy gives him the machete. And all of my friend's buddies, missionaries, they were like, "Oh, well, $20 for a machete." Well, they had bought up all those machetes. Well, word had traveled down through the village. And as they're walking back with their machetes to the bus, here comes about 300 men, women, and children all carrying machetes on their way to come sell it to the Americans. Noise travels fast when you're talking about money or you're talking about miracles. Amen. It had been noise. Anywhere that Jesus went, it was noise to them that Jesus is there and he's doing miraculous things. So what does Zacchaeus do? Probably the same thing that many others did on that day. They ran out. And in running out, Zacchaeus was not blessed as being tall as me. Amen? He was short of stature. More like my brothers. Amen? One of them's here. I'm not going to look at him. They weren't as blessed as me. I'm second oldest. I got it all out of my dad. So it was noise. And Zacchaeus was a man of short stature. And so he wasn't able to peer over the crowd at the noising of Jesus. So what did Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus looked down just a little ways because Jesus was walking and he thought, if I could just get ahead of the crowd, if I can just get above the crowd, I might be able to witness this man in whom I've come to see. And folks, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe it's just about the bright... I love Easter for what it stands for. This is what I don't like about Easter. You ready? I don't like bright colors. I don't like them. I don't think they shade well on my skin tone. That's why I got like a light blue here. Maybe you like it. Praise God for you. Amen. But maybe you've come here in hopes that this Christ that you've heard about all of your life might be real. Maybe he would perform something for us in this day that would give me some inkling to fully trust in God. Maybe you've come simply out of tradition, out of religion, out of whatever basis you have, just because it's Easter Sunday, and you've thought, what are the chances that God really meet with us today? What are the chances that if I go and I get dressed and I sit in that chair, that Jesus would even notice me? But I'll tell you what, I'll get up early, I'll get dressed with the family, I'll fight with my wife and kids or my husband and kids on the way to church, and when we get there, we'll pretend that we just look like this all the time, and we'll look right, and we'll get in there, we'll hear the preacher say a few words, and then we'll go home. But the reality of it is that Zacchaeus was not expecting to have Jesus single him out. And maybe this morning you've not expected that. But can I tell you that we serve a living God, one that is alive and is well. He takes nothing for granted. There is no chance with God. So if you're here this morning, it's ordained by the Lord that you've come. Whether it be out of tradition, whether it be out of religion, whatever it is, circumstance it may be, God has purposed you in this house. Because God wants to get you up above the situation that you're in right now. He wants to get you up above the trouble and the trial that has your viewpoint fixed on it. And he wants to get you up and away from it. Because if he can get you out of everything that you're in, you might have a moment to breathe. You might have a moment for revelation. You might have a moment to see the very thing that Jesus has promised that he is. That every preacher has promised him to be, everybody's grandmother promised him to be, all of those things. And I can stand here today and say, he is everything and more than my grandmother told me about. I promise you, at 31 years old, I'm finding the greater riches of Christ in my life than even what others have told me about. But it says that Zacchaeus, looking a little ways further, found a sycamore tree. And he climbed up in it to see what he could see. And when he got up there and Jesus passed by, it doesn't matter about the crowd. Notice this, that when Jesus gets fixated on someone, it doesn't matter what's going on around. It only matters about what he sees in that moment. Isn't that wonderful? It's 2024, folks. Who knows what's going to happen next? We don't know. We had murder hornets for a time, and nobody even talks about it. You ever notice that? That was a joke. I guess I'm being too serious. We really did have murder hornets, but it was just, there was in the midst of so much other chaos that people weren't even concerned. They just said, we got mosquitoes in South Florida that'll eat those things. That's why y'all didn't hear about it. But we're in the midst of such chaos and turmoil and darkness in this world. Folks, your kids can't go to school without sharing a classroom with somebody who thinks they're a cat. That's just the truth. It's hazy right now. It's dark right now. But God is not confused. God is not put off by the chaos. God is not concentrating. He's not like me who has ADHD where if some noise in the background is going on, I can't hear what you're saying to my face. He's not like us. When God focuses in on someone or something, he has the full attention upon those things. So when we come to God and we find him in a place, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you're going through, doesn't matter at what time the clock of the world is ticking at, it only matters about you. The Word of God says that Jesus is touched by our infirmities, by the feelings of our infirmities. You know what that means? It doesn't mean physical sickness. It can mean that. It means that Jesus understands everything we go through. He has a supernatural way of understanding exactly where you are. And he has a supernatural way of dealing with the situation that you're in. And he has a supernatural way to bring comfort, to bring peace, to bring joy, to bring power into that place of your life. We see Zacchaeus climb this tree. Jesus fixates himself upon him. And then he says, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. For today I must stay at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Now I want to stop right here for just a moment. And I want us to really look at the picture that Jesus is giving us in this account of the Bible. All right? A sycamore tree. Anybody seen a sycamore tree? Anybody got one in their yard? Anybody know what one is? We got one back there. Brother Mark has seen a sycamore tree. One out of 200. We're doing good this morning. Let me illustrate it for you. Anybody ever seen a sapling? You know what a sapling is? Small tree, not a lot of roots, doesn't have much foundation or security. Am I right? Could Zacchaeus have climbed a sapling? Probably not. You think that he could have climbed, you know, a slightly mature tree? Probably not. This tree must have been secured. This tree must have been there for some time. I was doing some studying. How old is a chief tax collector? Anybody know? Me either. They're about 40 to 60 years old. Doesn't give an exact, doesn't have any of that in the Bible to explain to you how old they are. About 40 to 60 years old. That's how old Zacchaeus is in this moment. And he comes across this tree planted perfectly in the path of him and Jesus. Some of you may see where I'm going in this. Somehow this tree is exactly where Zacchaeus needs it to be, and it's exactly where Jesus needs it to be in order for them to encounter one another. Now, a sycamore tree, in order for it to be big enough to carry a man, they grow 3 to 6 feet, by the way. If anybody wants a good shade tree in their yard, they grow 3 to 6 feet a year. It's incredible, isn't it? So at about 40 years old, do you think a sycamore tree is big enough and strong enough to hold a man? About 40 to 60 years old, I think it's big enough. Let me just put your mind to this reality. Do you know that God will use anything and do anything to get an audience with you? Do you know that? And God has foreknowledge into eternity as much as he has present knowledge and as much as he has past knowledge, because he's eternal. He's omnipotent, which means that God can walk through time and space at ease. He's taken eternity to know who you are. He's walked out every opportunity you might live out in your life, and he stands at the present, at the past, and at the future of every decision that you could make, biding his time to meet with you. Today is a time where those paths intersect with Jesus, just like it was with Zacchaeus in his day. And maybe it went like this. Maybe God, peering into eternity, looked at Zacchaeus knowing that he would be born at a certain day, a certain time, a certain part of the day. And he said, not only am I going to bring this man into the world, but I'm going to plant a seed into the ground. Right here in Jericho. And I wonder if Zacchaeus ever noticed that tree in all the years he lived in Jericho. Probably born and raised there. Maybe you're born and raised here in Indiantown or Okeechobee or somewhere here in Martin County. But you've never stumbled across this church. You've never stumbled across the gospel. Maybe that's the reality in your life. But I can tell you, Zacchaeus, day in and day out, walked the same roads, the same paths. And I wonder, through the years, as Zacchaeus saw that seed turn into a little frilly plant, and then that plant turning into a sapling, and that sapling growing into maturity, 40 years watching this seed grow into a great tree, probably never gave no mind to it. But on this day, as Jesus was noised walking through the city, what does he find? He finds that very thing that God predestined for him, that he might find a way up above all that's in his life, out of everything that's distracting him, that he might get a glimpse of this Jesus. What love of God! What love of God to look at a man, a rightful sinner, everyone said he was. How dare Jesus affiliate himself with that? He's a rightful sinner. But God himself saw Zacchaeus in his place, in his state, and said, I want to know you. And folks, we're sitting in a church today. Can you imagine it? One that was planted over 30 years ago. I'm 31 years old. I wasn't even born when this place was built. 1992, I was born. Don't be jealous. It's a good year. Who could have thought that my path would have coincided with this path, and your paths this morning coincide with my path? And who could imagine that Jesus would be in our midst today? But he is, and here we are. What an opportunity. It says that he could not see over the people for his stature. I don't care where you are in your life. If you don't know Christ, if you barely know Christ, if you've been serving God all your life, there are things in our way every day that want to hinder us from seeing Jesus. But fret not, friend. There is a way that God has made in order for us to get to our Lord, our King, and our Savior. If you've never heard me preach before, I'm sorry. I hope they warned you when you came. I'm not shouting because I'm mad. I'm shouting because I'm excited. What a God. What a God we serve to get us here for such a time as this, that we might see him. All the cares and wants of your heart to be answered in a moment with one glimpse of our King, one glimpse of our Savior. I told you that Zacchaeus probably walked by that tree every day, never gave it a thought. You probably drove by Indian Mound Road every day. Doesn't matter. Never gave a thought to be in here. And then all of a sudden, 2024, March 31st, you woke up this morning and you thought, I've not seen some of you, any of you ever. Some of you, you go here. Some of you, you sometimes go here. I'm not getting on nobody. The people laugh. That don't judge their laugh on me, okay? I'm not saying nothing about that. I did. It's these bright clothes. It's got me looking everywhere. Never gave two thoughts about it, but this morning you chose. Out of all the churches, out of all the places you could have come, you chose here this morning. By accident? Folks, when Jesus wants to get a hold of you, I don't think it matters where you wind up with your butt sitting in a chair. He's going to get a hold of you. He's going to get a hold of you. But I can tell you, God's been waiting eternally. He's been waiting eternally to have this moment with you, for you to hear these words, these thoughts that He has towards you. What a God we serve. He's known you your whole life and has waited your whole life. And He's taken every opportunity. Some of you remember times as being children, God dealing with your heart, making Himself known. Maybe you've pushed those things to the side through the years. I don't have time for that. You're going to ask me to give up too much. I'm not sure that I'm fully ready to surrender. Whatever it is, you just push those thoughts away. But it's not hindered God from pursuing you. It's not hindered God from seeking you out. It's not hindered God to doing probably what He did for Zacchaeus and planting those seeds of elevated places to get your head above everything else that's going on in your life to see Him. Could you imagine that God would do such a thing for you? And it did. Zacchaeus getting up into that tree brought Jesus' eyes direct. Jesus knew that there was going to be someone in that tree when He walked by, just like He knew that someone would be in your seat this morning. And He's been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you. I don't care how long you've served the Lord, 100 years, 150 years. Doesn't surprise me anymore with how long people have been serving the Lord. They've been serving God before they were born. You know, it doesn't surprise me as a pastor to hear those things. Another joke, y'all missed a great opportunity to laugh there. I'm not going to give too many out this morning. I'm on a time crunch. But what a gift of God. What a gift of God. Despite everything that Zacchaeus had done, despite everything that he had been through, Jesus put His focus on Zacchaeus. Likewise, He's put His focus on you this morning. We're in a room full of people, but Jesus is big enough to look just at you. So He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Folks, when you leave out of this room, you're gonna go back into a life that you have been living in. And no doubt when we encounter Jesus in any way, it changes us. You understand that? Anybody testify about that? When we encounter Jesus, he changes us in some way. He's either going to make our hearts more calloused against Him because we've rejected Him, or He's going to make our hearts more tender because we did accept Him. But either way, there's going to be a change in you when you leave here. So you may go home and go, this preacher has persuaded me with his message, and I've given my life to Jesus this morning, and I'm going to go home, and you may get around your family, and you may get around your friends, and you know what they're going to say to you? Get out of here with that. We know who you are. We know what you've been doing. We know who you hang around. That's what they said to Zacchaeus. And Jesus, who is this Jesus that hangs out with sinners? Who is this Christ? Jesus, don't you know who they are? Don't you know who this man is? Of course He knows who he is. God has known you before the foundations of the earth. He knew you and knit you in your mother's womb before you even had a name. Of course God knows who you are, and yet still pursues you, and yet still desires you, and yet still wants to come home and be God of your life. Do you hear the proclamation that Jesus made to Zacchaeus? Come on down from that high place. You don't need it no more. You can be with me. I'm coming to your house today. To what? To stay. Folks, you can leave this room and not just have God on an Easter service or a Christmas service or some other service in the middle of the year. He can come home with you. And He can stay there. He can live in your life. He can live in your house. He can live in your husband, in your wife, in your children. But guess where it starts? It starts with who met Him right here. It starts with you. Doesn't matter what they're going to say. Folks, I met a lot of altercation when I came home and I said, I gave my life to Jesus. You know what most people said? We'll see. That was the greatest thing someone could have said to me. You know, because there was a little discouragement in my heart. But on the other side of that, I thought, yes, you will. Yes, you will see. Because I didn't do it this time. I'm not trying it this time. It's up to the Lord to have this way in me. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, this is how you know something happened in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, a greedy man, a tax collector, most of the time were hated by all of the Jews because they were considered sellouts. They were considered people that not only worked for the Roman Empire that had overcome the Jewish people and berated them, but they also added tax on the tax in order to pad their own pocket. So they were really despised. You know what I'm saying? And this is what it says. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, if I have wronged anyone, I'll repay them. Now, someone who's not touched by Jesus ain't going to give that up. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Folks, this is not a verbal commitment that we give to God. Yes, it is verbal. Yes, you should confess. You should repent and believe and confess out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it is not a verbal commitment that we're giving to God. It is a life-changing, supernatural encounter. It is the statement that many had. I once was lame, but now I walk. I once was blind, but now I see. The Word of God says, let the thief steal no more, but go to work, and that he might glorify God with his works. When God deals with your life, what you came into this thing as, you're no longer that no more. Not because we're good, but because the blood of Jesus. It covers us. It changes us. It alters us to be the thing that God created us to be. Instantaneously, after Jesus proclaimed that Zacchaeus was his and he was Zacchaeus's, Zacchaeus's faith to stand up and say to all those who mocked him, I'm no longer what I was. I am something different. And he lived it out in his life. And this is what Jesus said to him. Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Miss Eva, will you come? Whoever's going to play. You don't have to. I can play my guitar if you want. She's got it. Brother Craig said, no, she can do it. Some of y'all ain't said amen the whole time I've preached. But I'm closing. So don't say it now. Don't say it now. I'm not going to be Pharaoh. I'm going to let God's people go. Amen? I want you to really think about this, folks. As we're closing. Look what God did for Zacchaeus. You look at the time that God took out of eternity to know one man by great lengths. How much more us? Folks, you may not have had a sycamore tree planted for you. But can I tell you this morning that there was a tree planted for you? There was a tree. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18? Where is the foolishness? It's in the cross. There was a tree over 2,000 years ago that was planted in the ground. And they hung Christ to it. That any man, woman, or child that came to that tree and bore it, not for themselves like Christ bore it, but those that would cling to it. Those that would go to it that they might rise above the world and the trial and the trouble that it's given. That they might see eternally through Jesus. Folks, on that tree, Jesus climbed it. And he bore all of our sins. He bore all of our shame and all of our pain. That in buying those things and burying them in the grave, that in his resurrection that we might be called up. You hear what I'm saying? We might be called up out of. So that when we do live in this life, because we will. Doesn't matter if you're saved, you're going to deal with trouble. You're going to deal with sickness. You're going to deal with car accidents. You're going to deal with the electric bill having to be paid. You're going to have to deal with that stuff. But God rises us above those things so that we can see them for what they are. There's a statement that I always quote, and I love it so much. And this is for the Christian. It's not for nobody else, only for those that are saved. Isn't it wonderful to the saint of God that the only hell they'll ever face is right here in this life? We may be people of trial. We may be people of trouble, but Jesus promised us, I must go away, and in this life you'll have trial and tribulation. Fear not, for I've overcome the world. He's over it all. And he's calling us up, just like Zacchaeus was called up, to see a little clearer, to understand a little better. Sometimes there's no understanding. Sometimes we just have to get up there with Jesus and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I trust that you're in control of it. I trust that you'll give me the grace to go through it. Folks, this is eternal comfort. Nobody outside of Christianity gets this. Only those that are his sons and his daughters. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, folks, you can enter into that place. You can climb that tree. You can cling to that cross. You can accept this foolish thing that there is a God so mighty and so loving and so merciful that he would go to a cross and die to pay for everything that I've done, and all I must do is believe. It's foolishness, isn't it? To those who are lost, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. Will you stand with me this morning? Can I get four brothers from our church to come up here, please? I'd like us to serve communion. Folks, there would be no reason in 2024 to stand before you today to preach the message I've preached to you if our God was dead. We're here to honor the reality of Christ's resurrection. He is alive, which means what he had did for him, he'll do for us. I'm going to bless the communion. I'd like us to take it, and I want us to pray. Amen? If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord. You may not be comfortable coming to the altar. You may not be comfortable doing any of those things. But I would love for you to come. Pastor Pedro's here. These men are here. We'd love to talk to you about Jesus. My wife's here. If you're a woman and you don't feel comfortable coming to a man, it's all right. Jesus has come to meet you where you are. Amen? Jesus came to Jericho and met Zacchaeus right where he was. How glorious is this Christ? So, Father, today, as we bless this communion, in remembrance of you, God, not only the broken body and the shed blood, but the resurrected life that followed it, God. Father, you can't have one without the other. So necessary was your death to bury our sin and our shame with you. And how necessary was the resurrection, all to prove, God, that your son Jesus was the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. Father, he never went back to a tomb. He now sits at your right hand. So we honor you today. For any life that's here, Jesus, that doesn't know you, I pray, God, I pray your spirit went to them today. I don't want my words to have done nothing. I'm just a man, God. But I pray your word and your spirit went to them and dealt with their hearts. I pray they accept you, God. And regardless of what anyone says about them, Lord, I pray that they say, God, you've touched my life, and I love you. I want to serve you. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen. As you receive communion this morning, please remain standing. We'll take communion together. I sure do appreciate you, men. don't want you to forget either. It's 11:59. I just want you all to know that. It's 11:59. And I want you all to know that you're invited down off 710 at the High Horse Ranch for lunch with us, fellowship. It's free. Y'all just come and eat and enjoy and fellowship. Talk about the Lord. There's going to be fishing there. If you guys want to bring a fishing pole, you guys want to bring some chairs, there's going to be some cornhole playing there. I don't know if anybody's competitive here. I'm not good, so I'm not good enough to be competitive. But we would love to have you this morning, or this afternoon now. Join us there. Folks, if you don't have a church and you're searching, I pray that you'd make this your home church. If you have a church, serve there. Love there. We appreciate you visiting with us. Thank God for you this morning. I thank God again this morning for our sunrise service. It was beautiful. It's my first ever, so I don't know what to compare it to, but I thought it was pretty good for my first one. The sun came up. It was beautiful. God gave us a little air conditioning. It was nice and cool this morning. Seriously, though, thank you for trusting us with your family and your morning. I promise you won't regret giving your life to Jesus. You won't regret serving this Christ. I haven't. 12 years I've been serving the Lord. It's the best decision I ever made. My second one was marrying my wife. I'm so grateful to the Lord for you this morning. Amen. Just a few more getting their communion. Amen. If you have your communion this morning, if you'll please open it. Take out your cracker or your wafer or whatever that thing is. Jesus took the bread in his hands at the Last Supper, and he broke it. And he began to give it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat it." Likewise, he took the cup, and he raised it to them, and he said, "This is a symbol of my blood, which is shed for you. Take and drink." Lord, we just thank you this morning, once again, for the broken body and the shed blood and your resurrection, Lord Jesus. Thank you for every person that's come. I pray they were blessed this morning by your presence, that their hearts were turned by your Spirit, Lord, and that we continue on seeking you, knowing how wonderful you are and the lengths that you've gone just to know us the way that you do. May they be blessed and enjoy their families in the rest of this Easter. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and enjoy your Easter. Happy Easter, everyone.